This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it's 7:06, Monday the 20th of June, and it is so far, when I look out the window, a rather cloudy day, start to the day. But as usual, we're going to be keeping you company till 10 a.m. Of course, this is the morning run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, together with Shazana Mukhtar. Let's recap how global markets closed on Friday.
So it was a mixed picture on Friday. If we take a look at US markets, the Dow was down 0.1%, S&P 500 up 0.2%, the Nasdaq up 1.4%. Meanwhile, over in Asia, Nikkei was down 1.8%, Hang Seng up 1.1%, the Shanghai Composite was up 1%, the STI closed flat, while the FBM KLCI was down by 1.1%.
So clearly markets are all over the place, but to help us understand where markets might be heading, we speak to Kingsley Jones, CIO of Jevons Global. Good morning, Kingsley. Now, let's take a bit of a step back. You know, 2022 started the year with much promise for equities, as it was the TINA trade. There is no alternative, but all major markets are deep in the red. If we look at the US, the S&P 500 is down 22%, Nasdaq is down 30%. Do you think it's just, unfortunately, the beginning of the selling, though? Have all the negatives been priced in?
Well, certainly some of those negatives have been priced in, but maybe not all of them. And so I think we could see some further selling. So you might ask, you know, what are the remaining thing to happen in this market to find a bottom? And I think that's where people start to change their forecasts of profits for companies, particularly in the United States. And analysts have been slow to downgrade earnings expectations. So I think that's what will happen next. But in terms of this bear market, I would say it's a bit more normal bear market than, say, the one we saw in 2020 with COVID, which was, of course, a very short, sharp, V-shaped decline and then a rapid rebound and bounce off of all of that easy money. And, of course, what we're seeing now is the unwind of that easy money due to inflationary pressures and higher interest rates. So that kind of narrative, that's a more typical story of how we get bear markets and a possible recession.
Okay, so you were saying, continue, please.
Oh, yeah, certainly. So I do think that, what we'll probably see next is, the bond market is still weak. Interest rates in the United States at the 10-year got as high as 3.5%. They may have some further to go. And then, of course, the big story will be when we start to see profit downgrades and further earnings misses, I think, and that will be in the second half of this year.
Okay, you know, you said normal bear market. What is a normal bear market? How long is it? I mean, when does it start? What alphabet shape will this take?
Yeah, so look, a normal bear market is really a situation where you're following, a predictable script in terms of the wider economy. Now, the pandemic was an understandable thing, but not predictable in how far it would go. And so the market reacted very, very quickly to the reality of that and equally quickly to the realization that there would be some support there. In a normal bear market, you might be looking at from the beginning of the weakness through to the end, perhaps 18 months. And if you think about when the Nasdaq in particular started to weaken, that was broadly the last quarter of last year. But realistically, the profitless stocks, the ones that have really been hammered, particularly in tech, they really peaked around March of last year. So they're probably bottoming sometime in the next 3 months. And then the broader stock market, I think, also will coincide with that, simply as we build confidence on how deep will the margin pressure go to take earnings down for companies and how high will interest rates go. And that's all part of inflation, as we know.
So, Kingsley, what are the key events or catalysts that we should be keeping an eye out in indication that markets are recovering?
I think a lot of them are going to be price signals in a way. So one catalyst I did mention is when we start to see further earnings downgrades in response to the pressure on companies with profits. So that's a clear catalyst of a kind. But the other kind will be pricing signals. And the main one that we would call attention to is just what happens to, the experience of bond investors. So as long as interest rates keep going up, then, of course, bond investors are losing money on the capital value of their investment. And that's been very, very savage in the bond market. And a big reason for that is because interest rates were coming from such low levels, hovering around zero to well up into the threes in terms of percentage of return. So I think once you start to see bond investors get more confident, that's paradoxically, probably when equity investors are going to be the least confident, because what will make bond investors confident is when we see inflationary pressures subside and signs of economic weakness. But of course, that's bad for stocks. So I think there'll be a bit of a script there where bonds do better earlier than stocks, and that will be the real sign for stock investors to get ready to buy the market.
Okay, that's an interesting observation. Kingsley, what about, you know, let's talk about one of the asset classes which has seen the sharpest decline, cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin has lost, looking at the Bloomberg at the moment, 55% on a year-to-date basis. What are the lessons learned from this? Are crypto still a mainstream investment?
Well, you know, that's a really big question, isn't it? Because, you know, this is the... I've lost count because I'm not really close to the area, but you know, this would be... you know, the third or fourth time we've had a major boom and then a period of losses of 70 to 85% from peak to trough. And if you apply that mathematics to this particular situation where Bitcoin peaked out at around 70,000 US, currently trading, I think, around 18,000, at least it was last night. And it looks like, it wants to go to $10,000. So that math would fit. That's roughly in the range of previous sell-offs. As far as the lessons are, what's being learned, well, I guess a lot of people who are in the mainstream who are buying this, they seem to be accustomed to the idea that it's a very speculative investment that can go all over the place, and it certainly doesn't typically pay an income. Maybe the lesson here is that there's a lot of people piling out now, perhaps with the hope that they can get back in. But for us, I guess I'm too old for this. There's too much volatility. It's not the kind of investment I want to buy.
And meanwhile, you were talking about bond markets earlier, Kingsley, and we've seen U.S. Treasuries swing wildly as the Fed raised rates by 75 bips last week. This is in part because traders are uncertain over the guidance of the central bank as in the past. What are your expectations of the quantum of the next hike at July's FOMC? Could we see another 75 basis points rate hike?
Yeah, I think we definitely could. I mean, there are some noises coming out of some committee members at the Fed that they'd be prepared to consider that. And we have to remember that the two-year interest rate's now over 3% already. So, you know, that's really the marker as to where the bond market likely thinks that the cash rate will settle, somewhere around where the two-year is now. It'll likely be a bit higher once they've done their final move. And then everyone will be looking for when the Fed may cut. And the reason for that, of course, would be a looming recession. And it does seem to be a rather difficult equation now for the Fed. You know, they're still talking about a soft landing, but I think it's a bit of a stretch to imagine them doing that. So they may want to get the pain over earlier in the sense that the market's already giving a lead there that rates need to go quite high to stop this inflationary pulse.
Now, one market that's surprisingly done pretty well despite having a zero COVID policy is China. Are they the safe haven market now? Because the CSI 300 index is up 7.6% in the last month. Is it just a dead cat bounce kind of return?
Well, that's a great question. They may well be the safe haven in this circumstance. And the reasons for that, I think, having to do with what you mentioned with COVID. China's clearly had a very, very different trajectory with COVID due to the tight controls that they've had. And that means now that they're having, you know, the experience of the downside of having done that and then trying to open up and then finding that, you know, they have all this possibility of a wider outbreak and then, they're going through with zero COVID again to lockdown. So in amongst all of that, it's pretty clear that China didn't have the same kind of monetary stimulus as a solution to their situation as we saw in the United States and other countries, but particularly the United States. So now, you know, they've been weak recently because of COVID coming back and other factors, but they are probably in a position where they can do some stimulus now really to help the property market along. And their interest rates, interestingly enough, are not going up. They're actually quite steady. And indeed, the Chinese 10-year interest rate is below the US interest rate. So what that means is there won't be so much pressure on the valuations for Chinese companies as there are in the United States. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, but I'd say it's definitely glass half full for China, not glass half empty.
Are there any particular sectors or stocks that interest you in China?
Yeah. Definitely. I think what the lesson of this inflationary period is, what it's telling us is that we need to pay a lot more attention to the front of the supply chain. So, you know, that's obviously commodities and commodities processing. But it also is the mix of those commodities. So as we've seen with very high natural gas prices and so on, clearly there will be pressure to accelerate the energy transition towards all electric. Therefore, you know, metals that are used in electric vehicles and the like for batteries continue to be interesting. And indeed, at this time, I think it's great to be looking at those energy transition-related plays, because if we're headed into a recession, as seems possible, those stocks will actually get quite weak. And so it's a great time to be researching now what you want to have on your shopping list, maybe around the October-November timeframe of this year.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, CIO of Jevons Global, giving us an indication of what to buy if you're looking at China. So anything involved in the energy transitions sector, be it whether metals, because it's a commodity used in electric vehicles or batteries, have your shopping list ready. Maybe October, November is a good time to look at China stocks. But it looks like for US markets, it's going to be a painful at least, 18 months, right? He says that's a normal bear market.
That's right. And I think realistically, no one can expect that inflation will come down in the near term. You may be taking these tightening measures very quickly, but I think it's not going to be until next year that we actually see inflation come down to the level that the Fed Reserve actually wants.
Yeah, and I'm also curious to see the impact inflation has on the earnings of the many US companies, whether we're going to see margin squeeze, and as a result, we're going to see a cutback in profits, and finally, whether the analysts themselves will be more aggressive in cutting those earnings targets, and as a result, whether markets will just continue to see selling across the board. But up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. Hartini Zainuddin, founder of Yayasan Chowkit, on the plight of refugees in this country. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.